We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ready, down, put.
This is the Bear Report Podcast. With Zach Pearson, and Aaron Lenning, providing extensive coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears!
Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Pearson and Aaron Lenning.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome to another edition of the Bear Report Podcast. The Chicago Bears are below 500 with their second straight loss. And it was another ugly one at the hands of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday as Tom Brady and that offense pretty much had their way with Chicago's defense, and then Tampa Bay's defense pretty much had their way with Chicago's offense. It was ugly all around, and things are not going good at Halas Hall. We're going to break that down for you on this episode of the Bear Report Podcast, plus preview a game against the San Francisco 49ers, another team entering week 8 on a losing streak. Before we get into all that, though, let's welcome in my co-host Aaron Lemming. Aaron, I feel like last week we talked about how bad the Bears offense was. And I feel like in this podcast episode, we're probably going to echo similar thoughts as well.
Yeah, there were some people who had some high hopes for the Bears offense, you know, against a banged up secondary for the second week in a row. And it just didn't pan out. It didn't pan out because the offensive line is terrible. The offensive scheme is terrible, regardless of who's calling plays. And, you know, Justin Fields is struggling because of it. So, it's, it kind of goes back to what we're talking about last week. You get what you ask for, right? And, you know, this kind of goes with that in terms of the, you know, the Bears, you know, Bears fans wanted Justin Fields to start. And, well, I mean, this is just where it's at. I mean, the Bears going into the season, we all knew, you know, or at least me and you, we knew the Bears offense was going to be bad. We knew this team wasn't going to be good. I mean, the offensive line, for as much as people wanted to argue about it on Twitter, their offensive line is bad. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, the fact that you have a 39-year-old Jason Peters starting at left tackle, you know, signed fresh off the streets right before the season starts, and he's your best offensive lineman, kind of says it all at this point. And, you know, it just, again, man, I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine very many people were expecting them to win. And it's kind of funny because, you know, for as bad as they looked, their next two games going in, you know, before the bye, I mean, they're both winnable. They're a half a game out of, and I'm not saying that they're going to make, you know, the playoffs, because I highly, highly doubt they will. They shouldn't. But they're only a half a game out of the wild card race right now. And if you look at the team in front of them, which is Minnesota, it's like, I mean, they could, if you look at Minnesota's next four or five games, they could very easily lose three out of those next five. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those situations. I think more than anything, we saw who the Bears are, and it's the exact same team that they were last year. They can hang against average to good teams, below average teams and bad teams, but the minute that you put them up against an actual Super Bowl contender, they're gonna get smoked. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and you brought up a couple good points that I definitely wanted to talk about on this episode, so let's kind of just start with this. I think you're right. In the next two games against San Francisco, a team that's, you know, lost, what is it, four straight after starting 2-0, they have injury concerns. They have questions at quarterback, although it sounds like they're going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo this week for now. And then a Pittsburgh Steelers team who's been hot and cold. You know, they've looked really good against the Buffalo Bills. They struggled to get a win against the Seattle Seahawks. They've just kind of been a hot and cold team. Those are two winnable games, and I think that's significant because I don't think this team is going to go to the playoffs. And even if they did as that seventh seed, it's going to be the same result as last year. They're going to lose a road game to a better team. But what that does is, in my opinion, it shows the McCaskey family and it gives Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy some ammo to maybe stay another year. And that's especially, you know, if Justin Fields plays well. If they're winning games down the stretch and they're kind of in the playoff hunt and Justin Fields starts to play well, I think that's going to be the presentation that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have. If it were up to me, I wouldn't have let Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace back in the building after Sunday's game, because there is absolutely no progress with this offense at all. And I think you could argue this offense has gotten even worse since Matt Nagy's gotten here. I'm going to throw a stat out at you. 3 seasons, John Fox and Dow Loggins' offense had 13 games where they scored 14 or more or 14 or less points. Matt Nagy's at that mark 13 games already. Now he's had a couple more games to do it, but he's already at that mark. So there's no improvement from the previous era to this era at all. And I think, you know, that goes to my other point that you were talking about. This is not a good team. I don't think this is a good offense. I do think they have enough guys in Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney and David Montgomery gets back and Khalil Herbert to be better than what they are, but they really are lacking production from skill positions. You know, you look at the quarterback position, you have a rookie who's struggling, and you know, some of it is Justin Fields' fault because it doesn't look like he's very good at reading a blitz right now or identifying the blitz pre-snap. The play where Antoine Winfield came in, that's on Khalil Herbert. You got to know, but Fields also has to let him know pre-snap, hey, this guy's coming off the edge. But a lot of it's also not his fault. I mean, the offensive line is horrendous. And, you know, Lechavius Simmons having to start without getting any reps at right tackle throughout the week, absolute disaster. Sam Mustipher does not look good at all at center. They're just struggling all around on that offensive line. And when you look at some of these sacks that Fields has taken, you know, some are on him. Majority of them are not. He literally has no time to throw. The wide receivers aren't getting any separation. There's just, you know, you don't have a skill. You don't have an elite player at tight end. I'm sick of this, you know, with this Cole Kmet thing. I'm going to give him a chance, but man, a second round pick on a tight end that's really not being able to separate and get himself open and make plays is really hurting them. And they just don't have it at the skill positions right now. And you have a rookie quarterback struggling. You don't have a good offensive line. The scheme is really bad. And you put that all together, and it's just like a melting pot of hell for this offense. It's terrible.
Well, and it's not. And the thing is I don't think it's going to get any better. It's just, you know, even looking forward to this week against the 49ers, the 49ers have the 6th best passing defense in all the NFL right now. So, and that's kind of the thing is, you know, you look at these last 2 weeks where, you know, Green Bay's defense is playing better, but their secondary is banged up. And then again, you know, the Buccaneers had, you know, they have an elite front seven. There's no doubting that. But again, their secondary was banged up. I mean, they didn't have Richard Sherman, who they signed off the street a few weeks ago. That's how shallow they are at corner right now. And, you know, you look at the Bears passing yards, like an average, you know, average passing yards per game right now, they're under 125 yards of passing yards per game. That's insane. In today's NFL, that is absolutely insane. And yes, you can sit there and you can pick things apart with Justin Fields. Let's be honest, man. I'd say the last 2 weeks, Justin Fields has not been good. But who is going to be good in this situation? Everybody wants to talk about Mac Jones. Mac Jones has been impressive, but he's also on an offense that, you know, while they don't have, you know, a bevy of skill position players, they have a proven scheme that has won them multiple Super Bowls. They have a proven offensive line. It's just not the same situation. It's like, you know, you look around the league right now and it's really hard, again, and I've said this from the very beginning, it's really hard to compare these really 4 rookie quarterbacks, because you really can't count Trey Lance yet, because I mean, he's not really starting. He had that one start, he got hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo has already been announced as a starter for this weekend's game against the Bears. But it's like, you look at these 4 other guys and they're all in vastly different situations. Zach Wilson has been getting hit a lot. He hasn't had a lot of time. Their offense is a disaster. He's out with a knee injury for the next 2 or 4 weeks. You know, Trevor Lawrence has been kind of turning it up as of late. But you know, the first few games of the season, they barely ran the ball. So it's one of those situations where I think really right now, And, you know, as much as I feel like Dan Orlovsky has kind of tried to make up for his pre-draft blunder of, shaping the narrative that he clearly got from a bad source in terms of Justin Fields is not a hard worker and all the other stuff and, you know, whatever else. But I do think he's right at this point in time. And this is what he said today. At this point in time, you cannot evaluate Justin Fields this year. You just can't do it because the offense is such a disaster. And, you know, I think it's one of those things for me where, you know, it's tough because, yes, we're 7 games into a 17-game season. I mean, we still have over half the season to go. But at the same time, I don't know about you, but I can't help but look forward right now. I can't help but look to the end of this season. I mean, you talk about their skill position, guys. It's like you talk about Darnell Mooney and you talk about Allen Robinson. It's like, dude, Mooney was bad. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He's had some bad drops, but he was bad on Sunday. And he's got to make catches. I mean, one of those interceptions, I mean, Justin Fields had 5 turnovers and really, I mean, the interception where he just basically, you know, severely underthrew Allen Robinson was on him, but it's like the 3 sack fumbles that he had. And then the 2 interceptions or, you know, vice versa, whatever it was, maybe it was just the 2, whatever, you get my point, but 4 of those 5 turnovers weren't on him. And that's kind of the thing is you talk about, you know, their skill position guys. And it's like Allen Robinson, there's no way in hell Allen Robinson is back next year with the Bears. The Bears aren't going to tag him. I mean, he's having one of the worst production, you know, worst seasons of production that he's had since he's been in the NFL. There's absolutely no reason or no incentive for him to come back. And I can't imagine he will. And that's kind of the thing is it's so hard to, you know, it's so hard to project this offense moving forward because, I mean, let's just be honest, man. I know a lot of people were obsessed with Bill Lazor and, you know, and him coming in. And I said it, you know, in a conversation with Dan Durkin on Twitter, I said, but, you know, Bill Lazor's not a good offensive, you know, he's not a good offensive coordinator. He's not a good play caller. And people got, you know, got all pissy about it. Like, well, how do you know that? It's like, because he's been at 2 other stops before he came to the Bears. There was a reason the guy was sitting on the couch before the Bears brought him in as offensive coordinator for a year. So it's one of those situations where, you know, like you pointed out with the Lechavius Simmons thing, he's your swing tackle because Jermaine Ifedi's hurt. He's your swing tackle already. And you do not get him any reps at all at right tackle the entire week. That's absolutely asinine.
And on top of that, they did not adjust and give help to him on the right side. The Buccaneers saw that. They lined up Shaquille Barrett, one of the best pass rushers in the league, and the Bears still didn't give him any help. Honestly, man, I felt bad for Lechavius Simmons. He's a 7th-round project that is really not supposed to play right away. And you pointed out, he's your swing tackle. I mean, he's not supposed to be getting into games right now. And they lined up Shaquille Barrett. And Todd Bowles said, you're going to leave this former 7th-round pick who has no experience playing on Shaquille Barrett? I'll take that every day. And what happened? He dominated him, man. It was just – it's pathetic, the coaching and the scheme. It's just – it's pathetic, man. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but that point, I just want to say, we've seen the last 2 weeks, those 2 teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions, the Green Bay Packers, they are legit contenders in not only the NFC, but the NFL. And look how far away the damn Bears are from that. They put 17 points up in those 2 games, 17, and they couldn't do anything against 2 banged up secondaries.
No, and that's the thing is like, so it's, you know, you take away the, you know, Lechavius Simmons being the swing tackle and not getting any sort of practice reps at right tackle, at left tackle, right? Which is crazy enough as is. But then you factor in the fact that he is a guy that has never played never started an NFL game. This is a guy that got cut. He was on the practice squad last year. He's been on the active roster this year. And you know, and it's like, so it's just, the whole thing is just, it's mind blowing. This team is so poorly coached. I mean, let's just rewind and go back to the beginning of the game, because I mean, we talked about it last week. Neither one of us gave them a chance. I think we at least within our score predictions were like, well, maybe this will be somewhat close. I mean, let's just go back to the first few happenings of the game. So the Bears go 3-and-out with a sack, you know, with just absolute nonsense going on. They punt the ball. They give up the longest punt return of the NFL season so far. The Tampa Bay goes down and they score a touchdown right out of the gate. It was 14-0 before you could even really get your bearings. It's like they were down 35-3 at half. And it's one of those things where some people are going to sit there and they're going to say, well, you know, they're just not as good of a team. And that is correct. But, you know, it's one of those situations where go back and look at, there was another game that played at the same time slot as the Bears. It was the 0-6, now the 0-7 Detroit Lions against, you know, an undefeated Arizona Cardinals team, or sorry, not Arizona Cardinals, a 5-6-1 Rams team. So
on the road.
Okay. So, but look at the difference, right? In how these two teams handled going into a game completely outmatched. What do the Detroit Lions do? They go down, they get it was like a 66 yard touchdown pass or catch from DeAndre Swift, right? What do? They come out the very next play, get an onside kick. Okay. They go for it on fourth down once. They go for it on fourth down again with a fake punt. They get 3 points. They held the lead and they were in the game for the majority of the game. The 0-7 Detroit Lions that are completely rebuilding, that the Bears blew out, that have a brand new coaching staff of guys like Dan Campbell, who's never been a head coach, Aaron Glenn, who's never been an NFL defensive coordinator. And that team had a better game plan, had their team more prepared to go against a very similarly talented team and a very similarly built team in the Rams, who, mind you, beat the same exact Buccaneers team. And then you look at how the Bears came out and the fact that they were down 35-3 at halftime. It gets to a point where, and this is where my frustration goes back to, is that during the offseason, we knew what needed to be done. Okay, I don't care that the Bears went 8-8 and got in the playoffs. They lost 6 in a row. They blew a 5-1 start. They beat a bunch of terrible teams down the stretch. They backed into the playoffs. They lost week 17 and they backed into the playoffs, and then they got blown out in the playoff game in an embarrassing fashion on Nickelodeon. Okay, so you factor that in, you knew what needed to be done. You knew that they were in cap issues. You knew that they didn't have a quarterback situation. There's all these other things going on. Matt Nagy and his coaching staff have been showing concerns for multiple years now. If it wasn't for the fact that he came in 2018 and went 12-4, nobody would be citing his record right now. And that's just the reality of the matter. But the Bears have been severely outcoached since 2019 in these types of situations. They had 3 blowouts last year against good teams. They already have 3 blowouts against good teams this year. And it's just, it's one of those situations where how much do you have to see? We didn't need to see the season to know that this offense doesn't work. We didn't need to see the season to know that Matt Nagy is not a good head coach and that Matt Nagy doesn't have enough good coaches around him. This is the frustration with all this, is because now the excitement of Justin Fields has faded. Now people are freaking out. Now people are thinking that he's going to bust. Now there's, you know, these giant concerns, all because they couldn't make the prudent decision to fire the head coach that they knew wasn't going to work. And I think that's the most frustrating thing. And that's the problem, is it's not just about one game. It's the fact that this continually happens all the time in these same exact situations. The Bears are somehow outmatched, and yet we see it every single week where teams can at least hang in. Much lesser teams than the Bears can hang in against similar opponents, but the Bears get blown out. I just don't understand it.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It goes back to a few things for me, Aaron. You know, I want to start with the offense. In this day's NFL, and I think you'll agree with me on this, the league has made it where offense rules. People want to watch offense. People want to watch teams score points. Look how many pass interference calls are on defense. Look how many pass interference calls are on the offense. Look at the protecting the quarterback. Everything they've done has benefited the offense in this day and age. The Bears are averaging 14.4 points a game. And if it wasn't for, Jacksonville and the Jets, I believe, they would be the worst offense in this league. They're averaging the fewest amount of passing yards per game, the fewest amount of total yards and total yards per play. They're terrible. They just got over the 100-point mark on the season, and we are going into week 8. They played 7 games, and they've scored 101 points, okay? It's insane. The other thing I want to point out to you is this. This kind of goes to your point about last season and what happened. You remember that press conference that they had with Ted Phillips and George McCaskey and Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy? You remember that press conference of, what was it, end of January, early February, I believe it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do you remember one thing that really stood out to me during that press conference? The Bears brass did not point out, oh, hey, we started, 5-1 this year, despite switching our quarterback in week 3. They pointed out that they lost six games in a row. They said the resilience this team had, the fight this team had, the spirit that this team had, they know that they could come back from losing streaks. They never once mentioned the start of the season. They mentioned that they lost 6 in a row and then beat Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville to back into the playoffs. They scored 16 damn points in what pretty much was a must-win game against the Packers. Then they followed up and scored 9 points with a late touchdown against the Saints on the road. That is how, you know, far from reality this damn franchise as a whole is. To sit there and to point to a freaking 6-game losing streak is a plus. And in that losing streak, they lost to Green Bay 41-25 in a game that was not that damn close. They lost to Detroit, blowing a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter. They lost to Minnesota, blowing a second half lead. They were god awful in those 6 games. And it's just, the point to that is just, it's infuriating. And now it all makes sense. No one knows what the hell they're doing in Hallis Hall right now. And this is going to continue on. And my biggest worry, and I don't know how you feel about this, but my biggest worry is that I kind of touched on in the beginning. They go on a bit of a run here. Justin Fields looks good. And they decided, hey, let's run it back one more time with this damn scheme that does not work. And poor Justin Fields, because I think this kid has all the talent in the world. I think this kid is the second best quarterback in this class. I don't think he's had the chance to really showcase it. And, you know, he hasn't played well. 100% agree on that, especially the last 2 weeks. But the Bears are not putting him in a position, and they haven't put him in a position to succeed this season, starting with training camp. And we heard it today from Allen Robinson. Not being on the same page with Justin Fields again. This is the second straight week he's talked about this. And that goes back to training camp to 5 legit reps with your first team. That is insane to me. It's just, I don't know what the hell is going on with this team, but it feels like, in a way, the media and the fans and Bears Twitter knows a lot more what's going on than they do.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, you talk about, you know, the mismanagement at right tackle this week. You talk about the mismanagement of Justin Fields and his snaps, you know, during training camp in the preseason. And then, you know, you talk about, I mean, let's just be honest here. Take your personal beliefs out of it. It doesn't really matter at this point. The Bears have completely mismanaged this COVID situation. I mean, and going back to training camp, where Matt Nagy was very dismissive of their overall numbers, you know, who was getting vaccinated, what, you know, how he was basically helping players educate themselves on it to get them vaccinated, whatever it may be. Again, this isn't a political thing. This isn't a personal view thing. The reality is simple, right? Is that if you get COVID, right, if your team has COVID, which so far there's been 8 different members of the Bears organization, including 6 players and 2 coaches, including Matt Nagy, who has COVID, you're at a disadvantage. That is just the facts of the matter. So throw that into the mix, and the fact that Damian Williams, who was unvaccinated, should have been wearing a mask to begin with, right before it's announced that he had a positive COVID test, was sitting there in Vegas meeting with the media without a mask on. It's those are the kind of things where you really start looking, right? And then you can kind of take it even a deeper dive where, and I know that some people don't think this is a big deal, you know, and you're free to feel however you want, but it's stuff like, you know, Lance Briggs is paid to talk about the Bears. He is paid to give his takes on the Bears. Lance Briggs was a great Bears player. He's probably not a Hall of Fame caliber player, but he's a really damn good player. He's a Hall of very good player. And when Eddie Jackson quote tweets that and, you know, or basically quote tweets, what was it, PFF or whatever it was, and comments back. That to me shows, and don't, you know, make no mistake about it, the Bears have been doing this for a while. Allen Robinson has been guilty of going after people on Twitter multiple times and then quickly deleting it. And Eddie Jackson's done the same thing. Javon Wims has done the same thing. Anthony Miller's done the same thing. There's been multiple guys on this team that have done the same damn thing. And what it tells me is, instead of, you know, Matt Nagy having them focused on the right things, they don't. And, you know, we saw it in the game again where Bilal Nichols throws a punch. How many times did we see that last year? Two different times against the Saints. What does Bilal Nichols go out and do? There's common trends throughout the last few years, regardless of how you feel. I think we can all agree, regardless of if you think any of these things are a big deal or not, there are common trends throughout the last few years that show that the Bears clearly are not focused on the right things. The fact that Jason Peters comes out today in a press conference and reveals more about Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins' injury status than Matt Nagy has ever given us should tell you a lot right there. And that's kind of the thing. So while I understand, and I think people are absolutely justified to be a little worried that maybe the Bears are going to go on another run and, you know, somehow they're going to finish, you know, 8-9 or 9-8 and, you know, jobs are going to be saved again. I think that at this point in time, there has been enough go wrong, for one, that, you know, the McCaskey family, for as bad as ownership as I think the Bears have, I think that even George McCaskey's probably looking at the situation thinking, man, we probably should have just made a move, right? And then I think the other thing to kind of keep in mind is, you know, just looking at their schedule, you know, there are pockets of winnable games. And keep in mind, when I say winnable games, and I think we're all aware of this by this point, just because it's a winnable game for the Bears doesn't mean the Bears are going to win the game. I mean, we've seen that countless times. But I mean, let's just go over the next few weeks of their schedule. They have San Francisco at 2-4. They've got the Pittsburgh Steelers at 3-3. Then they have their bye. Then they come out of their bye, and they have a juggernaut Ravens team that somehow got blown out by Cincinnati, which was weird. But they're still 5-2. Then they have the Lions. Then they have the 7-0 Cardinals. They have the 6-1 Green Bay Packers. They have two games left against Minnesota. They have, you know, depending on what's going on with Seattle, I mean, they're probably going to have Russell Wilson back. That's going to be a tough game. Then they have the Giants. So realistically, I mean, you would think that they'd probably beat the Lions again. They'd probably split with Minnesota. They'd probably beat, they'd probably beat the Giants. Like, when you really start looking, the reality of it is they probably have, I would guess, probably another three solid wins in them. But outside of that, you start flipping coins and it's like, you know, the 49ers may be 2-4, but are they really that worse of a team than the Bears? You know, you start looking at some of these other teams, like I said, Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota in my mind is the better team than the Bears are. Seattle, the same thing. They may be 2-5, but they've been missing Russell Wilson. So you start really going through the schedule. I guess my point here is that unlike last year where they had, you know, the, you know, two of the worst teams in the NFL that they had to play in the, you know, Houston and then Jacksonville, and they had some other cake teams on the schedule, and they got off to, and that's the other thing to keep in mind. They got off to a really good start. They were 5-1. God only knows how they got off to a 5-1 start, but they were 5-1. I don't think that a 3-4 start, and especially with the schedule that they have remaining, they have the second toughest remaining strength of schedule in the entire NFL. I don't think that there's any way that they're going to be able to win enough games and to turn things around, especially with some of the caliber of defenses that they play. I mean, Arizona, San Francisco, the Packers have been playing better. The Ravens, I mean, there are a lot of good defenses that they're about to face. Minnesota's been playing better defense as well. I just, man, you know, unlike the last few years, because of the way the schedule is edged out, I just don't see there being any way that they win more than seven games this year. I don't think they're going to be able to go on some fake run and save jobs. I really do think that we're watching the final, you know, 10 games of the Matt Nagy era. And at this point, I think the bigger question is going to end up being whether or not they keep Ryan Pace. You can't objectively look at this situation, regardless of how pro Ryan Pace, pro Matt Nagy you are, or anti, you know, Nagy and Pace. It doesn't matter. You can't objectively look at this situation and draw the conclusion that Justin Fields is in good hands, because if Justin Fields isn't in good hands, then this organization is not in good hands. And that's really what it's going to come down to, at least in my opinion. I don't think there's any way that Matt Nagy saving his job out of this.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, you know, I lean towards that as well. I just, with this organization, nothing surprises me anymore. And it's very frustrating. You know, just a little bit on this game. On the defense side of the football, you know, I kind of have to feel for Sean Desai. It's never easy going against Tom Brady. And when your offense can't move the ball and you're giving Tom Brady three scoring drives of under, 45 yards, essentially him starting on the Bears side of the field to get three touchdowns, it's your back's up against the wall. And, you know, there was some, you know, bad mistakes the Bears made. Bilal Nichols punching a player, you know, taking bad angles in the secondary, not wrapping up and tackling again, which has become a problem. But overall, I mean, this defense, you know, they held them to three in the second half. You know, the fourth quarter was not played by Tom Brady, but it just felt like, you know, the Bears defense was lost out there. And, you know, part of it's their fault, part of it's not. But overall, I mean, it was just an ugly game. And, you know, if I'm Sean Desai, I'm sitting here and I almost have to look at it this way every single week. And Eddie Jackson said it today. We have to come out and essentially dominate and pitch a shutout. Can't worry about what the offense is doing, because when your offense is scoring 14 points a game, it almost puts more pressure on your defense to, hey, we have to hold them under 10 or we have to hold them under 7. They can only get in the end zone and they can only score once in this game. That's a lot of pressure. That's not easy to do in this NFL, especially with how the rules are tailored to the offense. And it's going to be hard, you know, for Sean Desai and his unit to kind of do that the rest of the season, because they do have some really good offenses coming up. And, you know, we still have to see Aaron Rodgers. They still have to see the Vikings. They still have to see the Ravens, probably Russell Wilson with the Seahawks later on. And it's going to be interesting to see how this defense plays the rest of the year. But, you know, that next test Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers and a team that is really struggling. And if there's anyone out there that thinks the Bears can turn things around, this might be their best opportunity on offense, because they have to get it done Sunday. I mean, you can't go with a three-game losing streak into a Monday night game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The offense is going to have to start showing some signs of improvement. You're going to have to get Justin Fields on track. And hopefully the Bears are going to get some help, you know, on the offensive line. Larry Borm should be returning. Doesn't mean he's going to play Sunday. They should at least be returning to the team. You know, we'll have to see what they do with COVID, with who's in and who's out. But overall, you know, the rest of the season, in my eyes, is the development of Justin Fields. And I need to see something from him. You know, I know it's not all his fault. And I know the Bears are kind of holding him back a little bit with how bad the scheme is and, you know, how bad the coaching is and all that stuff. I just need to see something from Justin Fields. I think, you know, Sunday's a perfect time. Get it rolling at home and kind of build on this moving forward.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, again, like, you know, like we've been talking about for the majority of the year, even going back to training camp, you know, more importantly than their win-loss record is the development of this roster. And, you know, over the last few weeks, outside of that bad drop, you know, Komet has actually been one of their leading receivers over the last 2 weeks. So you like to see stuff like that. You know, I think defensively, you know, there's one guy, you know, to kind of maybe switch a little bit more positive. There's one guy I think the Bears need to kind of give a little bit more of a shot. That's DeAndre Houston Carson. I mean, he came in this last week and by all accounts, you know, it looked pretty dang good. It seems like every time that he gets an opportunity to actually play real snaps defensively at safety, he's done a pretty good job. But this is where, if, you know, and it's kind of unfortunate for the Bears, because I do think jobs are on the line. If the Bears were in a more stable situation with their front office and then with their head coaching or their coaching situation as a whole, this is a time where you trade off guys. This is a time where you say, okay, you know, Akeem Hicks, you know, see what you can get for him, stuff like that. For guys that you know are going to be free agents at the end of the year, you try to get something now, because right now, more than ever, you need to start figuring out what you got with some of these guys. You know, obviously they need to figure out, you know, the other spot at inside linebacker, you know, what they're going to be doing there. Corner, still another question. Defensive line's one of those situations where really Mario Edwards Jr. hasn't done much of anything so far. I think one of the biggest disappointments so far this year has been Bilal Nichols, man. He has not flashed much to me at all. And those are the kind of situations on defense where you're going to need cheap players to kind of figure out. And Bilal Nichols is a big one because, you know, a lot of people, including myself, it kind of assumed like he's your extension candidate. He's the guy that you're going to give $7 or $8 million a year to, you know, kind of take over for Akeem Hicks. And I don't know that he's produced that much to be able to justify that. And then obviously offensively, Justin Fields is the number one guy. You know, another interesting factor moving forward is going to be this offensive line, because, you know, kind of like Jason Peters was talking about today, it seems like the expectation is that Larry Borum is going to come off of IR this week. And, you know, at least the window will be open. Hopefully he'll play on Sunday. And then Tevin Jenkins is a few weeks off. I mean, again, there's 11 weeks and 10 games left in the season. So even if you get Tevin Jenkins back for, let's just say, you know, the final five games of the season, you still kind of need to see what you have there. And then obviously, you know, with the rest of these guys, I mean, Khalil Herbert's been an amazing development so far. And then with the receivers, you kind of have to figure out what you have. If it's me personally, between Demir Byrd or, Breshad Perryman, I think you cut one of those guys. I think you, at some point in time, I think you bring a guy like Daz Newsome or somebody up like that to figure out, is this guy, because right now the Bears have one receiver under contract going into next year. So those are the kind of things, at least for me, where, you know, obviously all the focus is going to be on the offense and Justin Fields and trying to win games. And I'm not saying that winning is not important, but I do think that the overall development of this roster is much more important, because again, the Bears will have a better cap situation next year, but they're still not going to have a first round pick. They're still not going to have a fourth round pick. There's still going to be situations where they're not going to simply have that 2018 offseason where they can add everybody in the world and then add Khalil Mack at the end and be able to make it work. Like, they're still going to be working under constraints over the next year or two with their cap situation. So it's vastly important for a quick turnaround. And, you know, again, I mean, I don't think a lot of people had seen Cincinnati going from what they did last year, you know, especially with an abbreviated season, from Joe Burrow to being 5-2 and looking like one of the better teams. I mean, they're literally one of the top seeds in the AFC right now. So we've seen how big and how dramatic a flip can be from year one to year two for these young quarterbacks. But, you know, part of that is going to be the development of the roster around Justin Fields as well as Justin Fields. So I think these next 10 games are going to be vastly important for some of the more overlooked players and kind of trying to figure out the rest of your roster to really see moving forward, regardless of who the coaching staff is, regardless of who the GM is, to really see where you need to add and where the focus needs to be.
I agree. With the trade deadline coming up here in the month of November, you know, maybe you have to take some calls on some of these guys, because if you're just in the mix and you're hanging around that, you know, 7-8, 6-7-8 spot, you need to start taking some calls and you need to kind of figure out your future. And I agree. Why not see what a guy, you know, like Daz Newsome has? Why not give Larry Borum more playing time when he's healthy? You know, why not bring up some other guys in the practice squad, maybe take some shots in the secondary with different guys? Because this is the best time, getting them game action in the season when you know maybe, hey, we're not going to be a legit Super Bowl contender. However, that's kind of the problem, is I do think the Bears, for some reason, think they are a Super Bowl contender. And that was kind of the moves that they made this year. I mean, that kind of dictated it. So I'm with you. I think getting a look at these guys, getting your cap situation back together, maybe acquiring some draft picks for future classes to set up whoever's in charge here next year is the best move. But, you know, if you're Ryan Pace, you're still coaching for your job. I don't know if you're going to make those moves, and that's going to kind of hinder the next guy if Pace is fired. So the Bears are kind of in, you know, what I like to call kind of football hell, where they're, you know, not bad enough to be, you know, a team that's getting a top five pick. You know, I know the Giants do have their pick, but they're not, you know, that bad. but they're also not good enough to actually be a legit contender, you know, in the NFC and make a run at this thing. So they're kind of just stuck in the middle. And that's where I fear, like, you know, that they're going to be there again next year because they're not going to make the right moves. They've been there for a long time outside of 2018.
Hell. Yeah. This is football hell. Yeah. Because at least when you're rebuilding or when you're bad, you have the draft picks and you usually have the salary cap to be able to try to build your team up. The Bears are in the middle of everything right now where it's been clear from the very beginning, like Ryan Pace has thought that this team was a hell of a lot closer than they were. Obviously, ownership also thought they were a hell of a lot closer than they were. Yeah, and that's the thing. But I mean, we've seen it since 2019 and it, you know, goes back and kind of adding on your point here is, we've seen it since 2019. This team gets absolutely blown out by, you know, Super Bowl contending teams. And I know people are going to point back to last year and say, well, they beat the Buccaneers. Yeah, and I don't know if you recall, but the Buccaneers got off to such a bad start last year and such an inconsistent start last year that they didn't even win in a division. So they didn't figure things out until later on in the year. That's not really a great comparison or a great rebuttal to, you know, the Bears just being so bad against, you know, good teams. The fact is the Bears are not a terrible team. They're not a good team. They're not a terrible team, but they're in that void right now where they don't have a lot of resources. They have a lot of questions on the roster and they're middling. And that's just, I'm sorry, but, you know, getting the seventh seed or competing for the seventh seed and getting blown out in the first round doesn't do anything for anybody.
Yeah, it's hell. It truly is hell. And to be honest, we shouldn't really be feeling this way because, you know, the Bears went out and made an aggressive move to get a rookie quarterback that they think can be the future of their franchise. They've just botched this whole thing from the start. And now we're seeing the effects. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I think this could get a lot uglier before it gets a lot better. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but that's just kind of the path I'm going down. Aaron, let's get into our X factor and predictions to kind of wrap things up here because it's just frustrating talking about this team and in this offense right now. So, you know, last week we were both right. We both picked the Buccaneers. That one wasn't a tough one. I just thought the Bears would put up more fight. This week I'll go first, and I'll go with San Francisco. I think the Bears are going to win this game. I think San Francisco is also a team that's kind of reeling right now. Maybe the future in San Francisco doesn't look too bright for Kyle Shanahan unless he goes to Trey Lance. I don't know. They're a banged up team. They don't have George Kittle. They're missing some pieces in the secondary as well. Even though they are really damn good defense and they're a damn good pass defense and pass rush. I think the Bears are going to win this one. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a high scoring game at all. I think it's going to be kind of a defensive struggle. I will go for my prediction. I'm going to go Chicago 17, San Francisco 13. I think both defenses will play really damn good, and it's going to come down to maybe a late try for Chicago. My X factor, man, there's just so much you can go to. You know, the run game has been fantastic. The offensive line's been awful. I'm going to go with Justin Fields again. I need to see something. I need to see improvement. I need to see him be able to run this offense, pick up a blitz, connect with Allen Robinson. And I need these playmakers to start making plays. So I guess I'll go Justin Fields / playmakers.
Yeah. And I'm in a similar boat with you in terms of, I mean, again, and we talked about this last week. I said this last week, you know, the reality of it is the Bears were always going to lose. Like the Bears were always going to lose last week, but these next two games are winnable. And I think that this is going to be an interesting measuring stick over these next 2 weeks to really figure out where this team is, because Matt Nagy also had some very weird comments post game about how much closer the team is, and then talked about how they can't allow this one loss. It's one loss, and they can't allow this one loss to turn into three or four losses. And to me, that sounds like a coach that knows that he's losing grip. I don't know if I'd say losing grip on the team, but I think just losing grip on his job and realizing that, you know, this could come crashing down. Not to mention the fact that we don't know if Matt Nagy, with him having COVID, we don't know if he's going to coach on Sunday. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. I think these next two games are going to be a very good indicator to where this goes, because let's just be honest, man, if they lose these next two games and they go into their bye week at 3-9 or 3-6, they're in trouble, because they need at least one win over these next two games to kind of keep themselves in the quote unquote playoff race, but also kind of keep themselves in it in general. So either way, I, you know, having watched the 49ers the last few weeks, man, I don't know that they're, you know, that much worse than the Bears or worse than the Bears at all. but I do think that they have their own issues right now. They're dealing with health again, which seems to be a very common thread in the John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan era. And, you know, in my opinion, they're starting the wrong quarterback. And so really, I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I think I'm going to go 2017 Bears. God only knows if it'll even get to that point. I think the X factor for me is going to be about the defense, because if you look at these last 2 weeks, you know, the Bears have given up a crazy amount of points defensively. And this is for a defense that's actually been playing pretty well, all things considered, right? And I think one of the big factors is going to be getting to Jimmy Garoppolo and really shutting down, because if you watch the game, especially with George Kittle out, they have one weapon. They have one pass catching weapon. That's Deebo Samuel. The entire offense runs through Deebo Samuel. If you can find a way to shut him down, more the point, if you can find a way to get pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo, then you're going to have to, they're going to have to rely on running game. They've always had a good running game, but I think that the Bears can do a good job of making them one dimensional. So I think the X factor for me is just the defense has got to get back on track, because we've seen this Bears offense is absolutely awful, but we've also seen, in two straight games against the Lions and the Raiders, where if they jump out to a lead and their defense gets off to a good start, the game has a very, very different feel. This is not a high-powered offense. The 49ers are struggling a lot of ways as well. They're, in my opinion, they're a very similarly matched team. I think the 49ers probably have more talent, but, I mean, the Bears have won more games to this point. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Again, it kind of goes back to that. Matt Nagy, outside of that six-game losing streak last year, has never really let things slip too much. And I do think that they're pretty similarly matched. And I think the fact that the Bears are at home gives them, a little bit of an advantage in this game.
Yeah, and could this be, the point where he lets things slip and things get even more out of hand? Who knows? We'll see, because it could get ugly here before the bye in a couple of weeks. But, Aaron, where can everyone follow you on Twitter at?
Yep, you can follow me at Aaron Lemming NFL, and you can also read my work on thebearreport.com.
Awesome. You can follow the Bear Report on Twitter at just Bear Report. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach, Z-A-C-K underscore Pearson. And you can rate, review, subscribe on all major podcasting platforms, and you can read our stuff on thebearreport.com. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode recapping week 8 against the San Francisco 49ers and then previewing the upcoming Monday Night Football matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Until then, everyone, please stay safe.